Where is Robbie? That's the question of the day. Where he be?
I don't know.
I'm not sure he's going to make it today. I'll be honest.
I'm here. I'm here now.
You say that.
How long have you been recording, waiting?
I just recorded. Hit record right now.
Oh. Yeah, and rare.
Never happens.
Rare switching, switching of characters. I was in a real rich zone.
Oh, you were working hard?
I was in a rich hole.
That's better than being in a dick hole.
Hey, hey, what's going on? Rob and Rich are the kings of con.
So what were you doing? What was your thing?
My thing was, I was on the other computer and I was trying to figure out. So I got an email that says, you may want to cancel your iTunes match.
Yeah.
Do you remember iTunes match?
No.
That was before Apple Music. There was a thing called iTunes match. And basically, it takes your pre-existing music library and uploads it to the cloud. It allowed you to listen to your music on the cloud.
Ah.
You know what I mean? So I digitized.
I don't think that's the word, Robbie.
Digitized.
Okay, there we go.
I digitized my entire CD collection.
Right.
And Apple Match allowed me to keep it on the cloud. Well, I've been getting these emails for several years now, and I was just kind of like, yeah, whatever. It's like $26 a year. But I finally like thought about it today. I was like, I don't need that anymore. That's outdated.
It is. But here's my question. Do you have all of that information saved on a hard drive somewhere? Like all of those CDs?
If you don't,
you've got to save them because you probably digitize them. Are they MP3s?
Yeah. But like, you know, with things like most of them are things I can listen to on Apple subscription.
Not all of them. Some of those local bands you liked growing up in Missouri, you know, some Northwestern bands. You bought their CD at the show, and now you.
Well,
you know,
the only thing would be like my old demos and
your old demos, for example,
and stuff like that. But like that's still I have that on my computer.
That's my point. So you do have it digitized, backed up.
It just won't be uploaded to the cloud.
That part's fine. You don't need it.
So I can't listen to it on another device.
No, you can't. But that's okay. Because if you ever listen to that stuff, it's probably not going to be remotely while you're on an airplane or something.
Right, right. Exactly. And if I want to, I think I could download it separately. Anyway.
Yeah, sure you can.
So I was looking to see how you go about canceling it. And
iTunes match.
Not easy to do. How would you think that you would do that?
I don't know, since I'd never heard of iTunes Match.
Well, there you go. Now you see why I was in a rich hole.
But you really buried the headline, which is, in your mansion, you have multiple computers. Because this is one computer, and you're here over here working with me. But then you said you're on a different computer, and I'm like, whoa, everybody slow down. What?
I'm sorry, my liege. Some of us were given more than one computer.
That's
I know
unbelievable.
You've got one in every room of your house on top of the
Dude,
mountain.
Dude, look at the garage I'm in. Like, I have this. Is,
yeah,
I come in here.
You're looking at a computer.
I work for a living. You know, at a computer. But this is the one, man. Robbie.
You're burying the lead because I saw hot pictures from your photo sesh yesterday.
Yeah, dude. That photo. Well, let's talk about that because, Rob, you had a really cool. It was a. The theme of yesterday for both Rob and Rich, even though Rob and Rich weren't together, the theme was Emma. I think we had it.
Right. Even though Rich never told Rob what was happening. He just said, you never told me what was happening. I did too.
No,
you go,
Emma told me.
Dude, I've been tweeting and Instagramming about it for weeks. Just
I don't read your crap
on
the social media. If I don't hear it directly from somebody, I didn't hear it.
Don't send me
a Facebook invite to your party. I want to know from you.
You're like, I can't do Tuesday, but I know you're with Emma. That's what you said.
That's right, because Emma told me.
You didn't say I can't do Tuesday because I'm having a photo session with all the members of bands you've played with.
No, not bands I've played with, just the
no,
the
me,
the Dick Jr. guys.
Yeah, I'm saying like Rob, you know, my buddy Rob. My
oh,
buddy
yeah,
Billy,
Rob Humphries, Coop Pelt.
My buddy Cooper.
Zach Ross, I don't think you know.
My buddy Emma. Everybody but Zach, that's true.
Yeah.
Borja, was he there?
Borja was here, yeah. Nort flew in.
No, does Borja awesome. Play? Does Borja play on your album?
He doesn't play on my album. The real treat of the day, and I didn't expect this, or I would have warned you. Matt Benedict, your brother, showed up. It was unbelievable.
No, like, in all seriousness, though, I thought Borja plays a trumpet on your album or something. Or
he does not. He plays that on Billy's album, but not on the Dick Jr. album.
Right. So yeah. That was Emma thought she was going to be singing in your closet. Did that happen as well?
She did, yeah. I was capitalizing on Emma's visit to Los Angeles to get her to record. She sang on two different songs.
Yeah.
One's a full-on duet, like a, you know, Jackie and June call and repeat type thing.
Right.
And then one is her singing backup on something. And, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to discuss this. For starters, how did your stage it go? Let's start there.
Great.
Great?
Yeah.
And obviously Emma was involved. I assume it was some stuff on your own, and then she sang some stuff.
No, it was all Emma. It was all an Emma thing. Emma called me. She asked me and she asked you if you wanted to do a stage it. And you right. said, no, that's Rob's thing.
And that's correct. You
gave it a big no. And so, and I was like, oh. A chance to play with Richard and Emma. This sounds super fun.
you would take your own life before you'd want to play with Richard and Emma.
That is completely bullshit. you're completely wrong about that. Emma was like, yeah, Rich said no. Rob likes to do that alone. I'm like, where did he get that from? That is just not true.
From the title of your book, I'll Do It Alone, Thank You.
Yeah, exactly. No, the title of my book is I Could Never Do It Alone. I've never done alone. Alone is not something I do.
Alone is not for me.
Right. So you, Emma says, Rich said no. I said, all right, well, let's do what we do. And so
hold on. We got to go back to your autobiography. I don't do alone. Bobby don't do alone.
I don't do alone. I don't do alone.
And you go to the bank and they're like, we'd like to lend you money. I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't do alone.
Exactly.
Anything that sounds like loan.
I don't do alone. I was trying to think of another one. Alone at all. Alone at all, and I can't be friends.
No, you can't, because you don't know Alona.
I don't know Alona. I said, all right, well, Rich said no, so let's do what we do. And we did. She texted me a Spotify playlist of her favorite cover songs and songs that she thought would be good for us. And that's what we played. We played
that's
her
awesome.
Spot of.
You're a good, you're a good musician in that regard too. You can pick up stuff really quickly.
Yeah, it was really fun. And at the end, we did two Rob solo songs that she sang on my solo album.
Nice.
And that was that. It was lovely though, because you know, these songs of mine on my record, I never sing live with a band or anything. It's just always by myself. So I've never ever done them with the band I played with on the album live. And so to do that with her accompanying voice, which we've never ever done live because she recorded it when I wasn't even in Nashville.
Yeah.
She,
theoretically, you've never done it even not live
in the same room. Yeah. Yeah. So it was like, there it is. There's my song.
Just so people can, who are listening to this can reference it. What are the tracks she sings on in your album?
Well, she sings on a lot of them. The ones we did yesterday are Daydream and Cautionary Fairy Tale, which you know. But yeah, she sings on lots of the songs. Yeah, she sings on like 50% of the songs.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. Those are ones where you really can hear her voice featured because she sings throughout the whole song on both of those.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Easy to Me is another one I would listen to. Easy to Me.
Easy to Me. Man, she has an unbelievable voice. I mean,
yeah.
Obviously, I've heard her music that she records on her own. I've seen her record. I've seen her on stage with you guys in Germany a long time ago. Anything she puts out, I listen to, I consume. I tell you, her cover of I Fall to Pieces by Patsy Cline may be the quintessential cover of a Patsy Cline song. It's unbelievable. She did that with Tyler James. He produced
that. Yeah,
that
was on our list. That was on our list, but we didn't get to it.
Yeah, and it just got, I mean, it was on a Jason, I think released on a Jason Mann's covers album, but like really deserves its own spotlight. Such a gorgeous, gorgeous rendition of that
song. As long
as
Jason's getting the, you know, getting the green taste. Back.
You know, but I'm telling you, I feel like somebody's going to find that, hopefully,
yeah,
will find that version and put it in a film of some sort. It's gorgeous. Yeah, and Patsy Cline, man, you're treading on sacred ground, getting in Patsy Cline territory, and she just does a beautiful job. And Tyler did a great job producing it. It just is a great homage, but has a unique flair to it. It's just great. Anyway, she's just amazingly talented. She came over here and sang two songs, but mainly, like I said, there's one that's like more, it's like she's singing lead, and I just dumbfounded. It's like you're shooting hoops, and then LeBron James walks in and he's like, hey, you want to play a little one-on-one?
Yeah. Okay. No, she's a pro.
And then you're just standing there flat-footed while somebody just
does
backflips all over the place. I mean, she's so good.
Yeah, she's a pro. She's Woo! A pro. Yeah. That's really cool.
I mean, I know you can hone that skill. You can work on that skill. But you have to have that gift to even begin to improve upon it. Like, she has a God-given gift that's just stunning.
And she played piano too for our little thing, so that was fun.
Oh, that's awesome.
So she sang, and did you do a video, or because you had the
DP
from Kings of Con?
Yeah, I got Mark Evans over. What happened was, I've never had. Last time I did, you know, I did a Dick Jr. album before COVID, and we did a band photo in the studio, and Emma wasn't there for that because she's based in Nashville. And then she's in the sort of montage photos. There's a photo of Emma because she had been in the studio for one day. When I found out she was coming to we're in Los Angeles, aren't we? When I found out she was coming to Los Angeles, I was like, well, this is a perfect opportunity to try to see if I can borrow some of her time to get her to sing. And we reached out. She was able to do it. She was in the hood, obviously, working with you. So this is great. And then I thought, oh, man, I'm going to see if the guys can come over to do a group photo, because we've never all been in the same space. Right. I guess that's technically not true. We were all in the Roxy one night, but we didn't get a good photo. There's photos of that, but it wasn't like a proper photo. So I was going to do it myself and just do like a self timer, but that's pretty low rent. And especially with all the photography buddies we have, and I, you know, love Mark Evans and have been talking to Mark. And so I was like, hey, Mark, you know, any chance you want to fire off a couple of shots? If I can wrangle these guys, are you up for doing that? And he's like, absolutely, man. So then I just hit up the band dudes. I didn't know who would be on tour or in the studio or, you know, unavailable. And I reached out to the fellas, and I knew Billy would be with me because we were recording that day, recording Emma, and Emma would be with me. So I hit up Zach Ross, Cooper Appelt, and Rob Humphreys, and they were available. So I was like, this is awesome. So they came over, and yeah, we spent half an hour doing a little group photo shoot.
Nice. And some singles too.
I did singles of the gang just to have. I'm not sure what I will do with them, but it was mainly about getting the group.
That's great.
Yeah.
And
Mark Evans came over and bought, and ended up being, so yesterday was a crazy day at the Spade House.
Yeah.
If your book
is
called,
it was out. You couldn't do podcasts. You're out Tuesday. You said.
Oh, dude, Tuesday was crazy. So we had, if your book is called Bobby Don't Do Alone, then my book was called Crazy Day at the Spade House. Yeah. And I'll tell you, a lot of it's machete centric. So
and in parentheses underneath, but don't tell Bobby, who by the way doesn't do alone. Go ahead.
Don't bother Bobo. He's alone.
Don't bother Bobo. He's alone.
Ah, that's hilarious. So, What are we talking
about? A crazy day at the Spade House.
Oh, yeah. So this is machete-centric stuff. You ready?
Okay. Yeah.
Machete. Wake up to JC all excited and all fluttered. And she's like, oh, my gosh. It looks like it's going live. And I'm like, what's going live? She's like, the LMR site. So for those who don't know, my wife has been working for years on launching a company that is a pre-made margarita company. It's an RTD, ready-to-drink margarita company called LMR.
Ooh, I didn't know RTD was a thing.
Neither did I. I'm learning all this stuff by being, machete adjacent. So it's RTD. She teamed up with one dude you've met, Eric Green, and Daryl Fowler. And then they've got this other guy who's awesome named Adam, who's they brought in once they got serious. And awesome group of people trying to do this awesome thing. And they spent years developing the recipe, and it's all sourced in Mexico. So they go back and forth to Mexico to get it manufactured and sourced, and all the ingredients are from there. Basically, I'm doing a giant commercial for it, but it's also awesome. And suddenly yesterday, it was going live on Reserve Bar. That's where they're launching the product, is on Reserve Bar.
Reserve Bar.
It's an online drink order site.
Okay. And
so they were going live on Reserve Bar. And I don't know if they didn't know it was going to be yesterday, or I don't know. But all of a sudden, because they'd finally gotten the shipment in from Mexico of all the bottles, and it was a big day. And so they're scrambling to finish up some details on their website, and suddenly realized that there were some images of the bottle. They had taken some professional photos of the bottle for marketing purposes, and then suddenly realized, oh, no, we don't have a shot of the back of the bottle, or some parts of the bottle that were on the site were digital placeholders. They weren't meant to be the real deal.
Okay.
And so Mark Evans is coming over, and JC's like, do you think Mark would, step in and save the day and snap a couple of pictures of the bottle?
Oh, I'm like, wow.
Let me see if he has time. So I called Mark. Mark's like, oh, yeah, I can adjust things. He showed up with literally a push cart of gear.
Jesus.
Like, he had canisters of, Halliburton cases of lenses and camera bodies.
Film.
And pretty much, I mean, but I'm not kidding when I say a push cart with it, which was 5 feet long.
Like, what?
You would, yeah.
Why?
And he had all this gear, great tripods and all this stuff. And jeez, it was, he saved the day. He brought this white rollout paper.
Holy
outside,
shit.
He set up this whole product photo studio.
I hope she threw
while
him
we're upstairs, recording and having fun. JC's downstairs working for a living. And so suddenly we have this separate photo shoot going on with Mark Evans and JC. JC directing Mark Evans on how to shoot this product shot. And he snaps off these unbelievable shots, uploads them, photoshops them, color corrects them masterfully, and zips them over to Daryl, who replaces the placeholders on the website, and kaboom, they go live, and suddenly the website's live. Suddenly, you can order the margaritas in Reserve Bar, and Mark Evans was hailed as the savior in chief of the day.
Holy cow! So
yeah, man.
What do you? So you give him a free swim in the pool?
I gave him an autograph headshot of. Well, it wasn't my autograph, but I had somebody else autograph a headshot of me.
Good. Okay. As long as he got something, and then
with my name,
and then Reserve Bar. What
you're
what?
Forgetting? You're forgetting one thing.
But
when you work for Rich Spade, you get jack crap, right? You
right.
get nothing.
Well,
you work for J.C. Hayes.
Right, exactly. No, that's
you know what I mean?
Mean?
You want in on that
right.
gravy train.
Now he really is.
He probably has margaritas for life.
Worker for you, they're like promises that will never ever be fulfilled. It's like,
I feel like
you'll get
promises.
A back
hit.
Look, when I make money, you'll see. Look, here's the thing about money. You talk the game, have a cookie. Robbie bought these brownies.
I would love to give you some revenue if we were making money. I'm like a studio. I know it was a hit movie.
Exactly.
But you don't know what our outlay was to promote it.
Yeah.
So let me look at my chart here. The movie made $400 million. And that's by any metric, that's a hit film, Robert Downey Jr. That's a hit film. unfortunately, we spent $100 million making the movie and $300 million promoting it. So there's no profit.
Right.
So I know that you have profit sharing. Unfortunately, there's no profit to share.
And in
but thank you.
In 3 months, Mark is picketing outside your house because he hasn't been paid. He's striking.
The spate strike is on.
Okay, so he does this. He saves the day. It goes
saves
live.
The day.
What can I find at Reserve Bar? If I wrote down Reserve Bar was my takeaway of your story.
Good. That should be the takeaway. Well, what you want to do is you want to go doing this. There it is. EnjoyElMar.com. You go to EnjoyElMar.com. That link is also in the bio of their Instagram, which is EnjoyElMar. But you go to EnjoyElMar.com, and then I know that people at home can't see this, but right there, let's see.
And if you download and if you spend any money, if you spend any money, please write it down. Just have a good record of it so we can show Mark Evans
that there's revenue. So, Robbie, are you busily going to enjoyelmar.com right now?
No, I was
going
to go to Reserve Bar because I just wanted to
They want you to order it through enjoyelmar.com. And then that pre-order button will take you to Reserve Bar.
Oh, because I just want to know what Reserve Bar is because I like
it's a mail order booze service.
Aha. Okay. I like that because I like reserving things. I like bars.
You like reserving things. You like bars and you love dot coms. Yeah. You're like Mr. Dot com.
Okay. Enjoy Elmar.
Yes. Yes. Enjoy Elmar. Like
as
Spanish.
In the C?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. It could be the letter L. You sounded like you said Al the way you said it. Enjoy Elmar.
Albert Marr. Enjoy Elmar.
First thing that comes up, Elmar Margarita. Are you 21? Who's asking?
And then your phone immediately go, oh, sorry, we can see you, sir. We know you're older than time. We'll just drop that screen right now.
I don't like the questions right away. Okay, love it. I love the packaging. The bottle looks great.
Yeah.
Hecho en Mexico.
Okay, sorry for our Spanish-speaking friends, we apologize. Lo siento.
What does it say? Hecho? Echo?
Robbie.
I don't speak Spanish. How do you pronounce hecho?
I don't know. Hecho.
Well, that's what I said. Hecho.
No,
Mexico.
You said hecho in me. Hold on now.
No, I didn't.
Hecho.
You're the one who said Almar.
I don't want to say hate. I say hate.
A real margarita should be simple. 100% agave tequila blanco. Mexican limes and cane sugar. That's Elmar. An authentic margarita right out of the bottle, ready to enjoy, brought to you by The Machete.
The Machete.
We need to write a song for Elmar that doesn't get played on Elmar.
You do need to write, if you ever want to taste this margarita, Machete will hold your feet to the fire. You better write a theme song.
Yeah,
it better have a Spanish vibe, but it better contain all the buzzwords that they have in their marketing. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yep. Including Hecho.
Elmar, it's not far, it's right here in your hand. Like beer from a can, but it's not in a can, and it's not beer, it's margarita. Elmar!
Hecho en Mexico. Enjoy it everywhere.
RTD! DCF!
Go to enjoyelmar.com. Oi! That's Spanish for today.
Okay, there you go. Hey, Cho, where are you going with that margarita in your hand?
Hey, Cho.
Where are you going with that margarita in your hand?
Well, now we got the song.
And then followed by the lawsuit.
Hey, Cho. It's funny. If I could come up with a Spanish version of that. That's great. So it's live. It's happening. People, you can actually order this right now.
Yeah, it's pre-order. I think we're pre-ordering it. So it's on its way to the Reserve Bar HQ. So you pre-order it, and when it arrives at HQ, it'll be shipped out to you.
Great.
Yeah, man. And it's so good. It is so good. That was Crazy Day at the Spade House. And then on top of that, all of a sudden, all these band guys
Then the band guys
showed
up.
And, you know, sort of wanted to keep them entertained while we were getting ready and still kind of recording upstairs. Well, it literally was like, it was, you know, total chaos at the house. She was sprinting around. Mark was taking photos.
Rob brought his baby.
Humphreys brought his son, Rocket, who was just adorable. And Rocket splashed around in the pool while we're like getting out snacks for the kids, the grown-ups. And Emma's upstairs belting it out, knocking the plaster off the walls.
How late did the party go?
While staring at my pants, because she's in our closet.
You hang your pants up?
No, but they are on the shelf.
How late did all this go?
By 4, it was like nothing happened. Or no, by 5. It was like we did it all.
Everybody's
and
gone.
And then Emma had a dinner date. And obviously I had borrowed the band and they were gracious to come over. And so then we were done with their photos. They went their merry way. And the boys came home from school and it just resumed being a normal day at the Spade House.
That's crazy. So now what are you going to do with all this stuff? You're putting an album together.
Yeah.
You're going to package the album. You're going to play live in Nashville in December. I'm
going to play live in Nashville.
In spite of the fact that you said, no, you would not do this, stage it with us. I pimped out your show last night or yesterday. Talked about...
That's unlike you.
The Richard Spate, the show that we're doing Monday night in Nashville.
I think you're going to be really pleased because it's extravaganza of music. Am I wrong in saying the Station Breaks are doing some tracks there?
I think so. Okay. I think the evening's going to start with Emma and myself.
Which is going to be phenomenal. More Emma. Doing some of what you did yesterday, I assume.
Yeah, more Emma than me. It's really, I think it's going to be Emma sort of opening the night and I'll maybe join her for a couple and then Station Breaks will do a couple and then Loud and Swain will do a couple and then Richard Spate will take the stage. Now
I think that's reversed, but with the whatever. The point being, it's going to be a great night
not
of
reversed,
music.
That's the night. It's set.
I think that's going to be a great night
of
music.
It's done.
And what I think you're going to enjoy is the Exit In, which is a legendary Nashville.
Yeah.
First time you ever came to Nashville, with me at least, and my dad drove us around and gave you the tour.
Yeah.
Remember we went for a beer at the Gold Rush, which is a bar right across the street from... And the Gold Rush has been knocked down. As Nashville progresses, it tosses aside some of its classic spots, which is a shame. And the Exit Inn got sold and had a farewell event and adios on the marquee and everything else. And something happened between then and now where it isn't destroyed.
Right.
It wasn't knocked down and is still a music venue. So
I remember all this.
I am really excited that we're going to get to play there.
I remember all this. I remember your dad and you taking me on that tour and seeing it then. Drinking nearby. I remember you saying it had closed and being bummed about that. And then...
Oh, man, so bummed. Because we were going to do a show there before COVID.
Right.
And then COVID happened.
Right.
And then I was like, well, we'll do it after. And then the venue... I mean, it was all over the Nashville papers.
That's really what this is. This is your... You finally get to do that show.
Yes, it is a great opportunity to get back into Nashville. Unfortunately, it won't be with the... original lineup.
Right.
We couldn't work it out to get the dudes here.
Okay,
there.
So who are you going to be playing with?
Well, Billy has arranged. Billy Moran will be on stage with me, and so will Emma Fitzpatrick.
Uh-huh.
And then the other guitar player, bass, and drummer are all people that Billy Moran has arranged.
Local people, Nashville people.
Yeah, Nashville musicians who I'm sure will like literally knock the leather off the ball. It's not that I'm afraid of the talent level in Nashville.
Yeah.
At all.
Not at all.
Just out of an emotional allegiance, it would be fun to have Rob Humphreys, Cooper, and Zach Ross with us. But
yeah.
We'll do that another time.
You'll be so blown away. When I did that album there, it was, you know, amazing, these musicians that Tyler got. It was like...
And you don't think of Nashville as a music city.
No, you don't.
I mean, so
you
it's
really
interesting
don't.
To like...
What's like coming... It's like doing a movie here in Los Angeles and stumbling across a good actor. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't think of this as being like a...
A movie town.
Tinsel town.
No. Are you going to play songs off of both records?
Both records, Robert.
That's fantastic. And any other tours planned?
Well, I'm doing that acoustic tour with Jason and his band of merry pranksters.
You're doing the peanut butter and jelly tour.
Yeah, exactly. The PB and JJJ.
And but then after that, anything for next year? You just kind of gonna
no
see
nothing
how it
yet.
Goes?
Nothing yet. Got to figure out what the... We got to see if we get off strike and if we all go back to work or what's going to happen.
I know, man. I know. Hey, speaking of guest musicians who weren't in the original band, I'm going to see U2 on Friday at the Sphere in Las Vegas.
Oh, my God. You are going. At one point, you were trying to sell your tickets.
I was trying to sell my tickets. I couldn't sell them. I was trying to sell them at face value, which, you know... So, to take it back, Ruth Connell said... I said, man, I'd love to see you two at the Sphere, but this was like 4 months ago. And I was like, but it's just too expensive. And she's like, oh, I've never seen you two. I'd like to go. And I was like, okay, well, I mean, they're super expensive. Well,
I'm your lady.
Did you get me something for St. Patrick's Day next year?
Yeah,
you know,
man,
it's always something. She's always looking at the next.
Lady.
Yeah, yeah. So, so I was like, okay, all right. So I bought these two really good tickets. And then I found out later, it doesn't matter where you're sitting. It's a fucking sphere. The show is 360 all around you, right? The show is everywhere, right? The band's playing, but it's really about this experience. But of course, I got like right up front seats for my girl who's never seen you too.
Well, my lady.
Then she gets invited to a couple of conventions overseas. And
that's why she bailed on you?
Yeah. She has to... She's doing some work. She's making some cash.
Well, I mean, we all got to make money in
we
these trying
work.
Times, especially in the strike.
Honestly,
you know?
If it weren't for the strike, I don't know if this would be happening. But it was, you know, we got to keep working. So
yeah.
I was like, all right, I'll sell these tickets. No problem. Face value. Yeah, they're expensive, but someone's going to. But no one bought them. And then I started thinking, I followed the Sphere on Instagram. I'm a huge YouTube fan. I'm just finishing the Bono book. I'm listening to U2, serious U2. I'm like, I got to see this fucking show. It looks unbelievable. It looks like just a masterpiece and a tribute to this band and the space that they've built. So it's Hank Chilton's birthday. I said, Hank, because Hank is also a big U2 fan. I said, would you want to do this? I said, what do you have on Friday? He said, we got this school thing. I said, I was going to see if he goes to the Sphere with me. He's like, well, I can go to the Sphere.
He's thinking like you need him to drop you off at the car repair place.
Yeah,
you're like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. So it's my 53rd. How old are you? 54?
I'm 54. So
it's
Hank's 54.
He's 54.
And you're 53.
So it's his 54th birthday present from me. And it might be his 55th and 56th as well.
Oh, dude. Yeah, make him buy you a popcorn. You know what I mean?
Something.
Yeah.
So we're going to drive to Vegas to save some money. Exactly. And be back within 24 hours. But what I was going to say was, U2, I just found out, and I'm a little bummed about this, Larry Mullen Jr. had back surgery, so he's not with him.
What?
Yeah. And they've never played without one of them. Like, that's, U2 doesn't do that.
I guess they have to because it's a contract with Vegas.
It's a contract with Vegas, and this thing is huge. I mean, bad timing for the back surgery. You know what I'm saying?
That should be Larry Mullen Jr.'s biography title. Bad timing for the back surgery.
At least the last chapter. So, yeah, and then I just saw a video that showed the drummer who looks like a young Larry Mullen Jr., and he's good, so I'm sure it's going to be fine. It's just,
good? I'm sure. Can you imagine that audition process?
Exactly.
Holy, that'd be nerve-wracking. I don't care how good a drummer you are. You're like, I'm auditioning to play with you too. Not at like a little side gig.
Yeah.
But in their Vegas, like... extravaganza.
Yeah, U2 is one of the few bands where they're each member is an icon. So like, you know, like you know, if you replace the drummer for the Rolling Stones, it's not the Rolling Stones anymore. You know what I mean? Like if you replace the drummer for U2, it's not U2 anymore. But
in a weird way, it's funny because from what I know, and I could be wrong, you just read the book, but I've always heard that U2 is like the only band in the history of rock and roll that's the original lineup. Like the first time those four dudes met when they were 14.
Yeah.
They're still the, like, they didn't have a temporary guy for a minute. They didn't have a trombone player for a month or nothing. Like it's the original group.
I mean, the Beatles were, but they only lasted 10 years.
But the Beatles weren't. They had Stu Sutcliffe
that's true.
On bass and he died.
Yeah, that's true.
And then, so, and they had Pete Best on drums.
Yeah, true.
So they like it's like and Rolling Stones wasn't because they had
not them. No.
Brian Jones died, and then Mick Taylor came in and left.
And the Who,
you know, so like
switched. Well, now there's just two of them, but after Keith Moon died,
right?
They had put out records with the new drummer. No, it's true. It's amazing these guys. But you think about the pop of that snare, you know, at the beginning of Sunday Bloody Sunday, like that's, you know, it's like playing an Eddie Van Halen solo. Only Eddie Van Halen can play an Eddie Van Halen solo. And
yeah, dude.
Only Larry can hit the snare in just a certain way. Rap-a-pop-pop-pop, you know.
Yeah, dude. And again, how nerve-wracking. Like, okay, thank you for coming to our audition. Why don't we start out with Sunday Bloody Sunday?
Yeah. Harry?
Yeah, guys, yeah, no, let's jam out a little Sunday. Let's a little SBS. You guys ever call it SBS? No? Okay. All right, no problem. So who starts this? Oh, me. Yeah, right. I start this one. Okay. Okay, I guess so let's dive right into it.
So here's a 2, 3. Why am I counting? I started.
Edge. Do I call you the Edge or Edge or the? Yeah, I mean, anybody ever call you Tuh?
Yeah.
I mean, can you? I don't care what drummer it is. Like, that would be nerve wracking.
No, I should send you this post. They just posted something today, and it was like the look on his face is joy and terror at the same time, this drummer.
Yeah, because you're also, didn't he have to learn, like, did Larry Mullins start at the Sphere? Like, was he playing a second ago?
I don't think so. I think because I read a review, and it was like the opening night review, and it was like U2, who was without Larry Mullen due to back surgery.
All right. Can you imagine, because you are a fella who has turned FOMO into a full contact spectator sport.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the FOMO that you would have if you're the drummer for U2? You've been with the band for 14 years. They're finally doing the Sphere.
Yeah, they
built it. You come to the gang and you're like, hey, I gotta have back surgery, so we're going to have to move the Sphere dates.
I don't have to imagine it. It happened yesterday at your house.
Very similar. A lot of people were calling this gathering the Silver Lake Sphere.
Of the Rob and Rich's relationship.
Yeah.
No, it's true. I'm sure he is, but honestly, you don't think you have to have my severe amount of FOMO to experience FOMO in that situation. I'm sure Larry Mullen is like hating not being there. This is his team that he built. I mean, the guy started the band. Like the band started because he put up an ad at school that says drummer looking for a band. And these are the dudes that showed up. And Adam Clayton didn't play bass at all. He just kind of looked cool.
And they is just, that right?
Yeah. Yeah. And Bono was like, I'm a singer. So, yeah. Oh my it's God, a great
that's
book.
Hilarious.
I recommend the book.
So the Edge played guitar though.
Edge played guitar. Adam
already at that age. He was already playing.
Yeah, he was already playing, and they were all neighbors. They're all neighbors. Went to the same school, and Larry was like 15, 14 or 15. Like it's crazy. He's the youngest.
Yeah.
The earliest bands. I mean, the bars they played at. He was too young to get in the bar. Anyway.
You don't think of Ireland or Dublin as a bar town, though.
No.
So I'm sure that didn't slow him down.
It'd be like thinking about L.A. as a, you know, tinsel town.
Mover town, yeah. Or Nashville as a, you know, music city,
center, yeah, not.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, so that's
hey, guys. Guys.
Guys, 2, 3, and.
No, just imagine you in the hotel. Hey, guys, was it not a great show? Was it not great? Oh, it was great. Okay, cool. Cool.
Was it weird
to look back and not see me? Oh, you just never looked back. Okay.
What did Bono say? Did Bono talk about me at all?
Oh, man, that's so funny.
I'm sure they will have a big...
I think that SNL should be doing a skit about the drummer auditions.
Yes.
Like, how bizarre that would be.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, my God.
I just watched SNL.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
See Pete Davidson's intro? I didn't watch SNL, but I saw this thing fly around.
Yeah, it was like the cold open was that.
That's really well done.
Yeah, And then and then he came back and did like 2 minutes of stand up. But
I did not know that his father died in a terrorist attack.
I didn't either. Was it 9/11? It must have been 9/11.
I have no idea.
It must have been 9/11. I went online to look for it and I couldn't find what terrorist attack it was.
That was funny. And then his, oh, no, sorry, that wasn't funny. That was touching and really sincere and lovely. And then I saw a clip of him doing I'm Just Pete, like yeah, the Barbie exactly. song, I Just Ken.
Exactly.
Which that was funny.
It was really funny. That was probably the funniest thing in it. That, you know, SNL is always, I mean, it's always been hit and miss. Occasionally you'll have a classic sketch, but that was, I thought that was the funniest part of the episode. Yeah. That's the
comedy
best.
Is so generational, I think.
It really is. That's what's funny about him is that sketch. Like that, when he's doing that, it's kind of like self-deprecating, I'm a fuck up. But hey, you know what I mean? It's kind of like cat's what's kind of funny about him.
Right.
But yeah, no. Even SNL is generational. And sometimes I'm like, whoa.
That's what I mean. It's like we all have our cast, right?
Yeah.
Cast we go like that. No, it's not as good as the Will Ferrell days or Phil Hartman. Phil Hartman was a genius, but
Phil Hartman was a genius. But even then, there were a lot of stinkers, you know, with that bunch.
Of course, no, you can't do the show they do and have every skit be a home run. You can't be done. You can't finish at midnight on Saturday and start writing on Sunday or Monday.
That's what I don't understand.
And get ready to do the show and just like, and have everything be a home run.
That's what I don't understand. I mean, I wonder if the writers pre-write stuff for who they know is going to, you know, be the guest.
I don't know, but you'd also know that some of those guests are not good at comedy.
I know, man. You're right. It's amazing what they do in 1 week. I mean, they literally come in, they'll pitch these ideas. The cast will pitch sketches. And then they put them all together. Those movies, like that video, I was thinking about that Barbie video. Like, what's the production week of an SNL look like? You know what I mean? I've seen little documentaries, but nothing extensive. Like,
yeah,
that would be so wild. I was thinking about that the other night, like after I saw the show. Like, I've always said I would love. My dream that will never happen, but my dream would be to host Saturday Night Live and have my band be the musical guest. That would be my
dream.
That'd
be great. That'd be a heck of a dream.
But fuck, the pressure of coming out to do that opening monologue, that's got to be so much pressure.
It's got to be so much pressure and being on the show. And speaking of, so interesting that we're talking about SNL and then also the musicians you know who were over here yesterday. Rob Humphries is the drummer for Kacey Musgraves.
Right. Played on SNL.
So Rob Humphries has been on SNL. Yeah. So like last night, JC and I Googled Kacey Musgraves on SNL to watch and just see Rob back there.
Yeah.
You know, the shaker and a play. And I was like, that's unbelievable on SNL. I don't care in what capacity, but to be playing live music, which also seems like an unbelievable amount of pressure on SNL.
Yeah.
I was like, that's really cool that he's on SNL.
I texted him that night. I couldn't believe it the night that it aired.
I couldn't believe it.
I was like, I knew right away. I was like, that's Rob. You can see his doing that shape.
Yeah, he has that body English that you just, it's unmistakable.
Yeah.
There's something else I was going to say. I don't know, man. They move so quickly and do such cool stuff. And yet, obviously, not everything's a humdinger. But man, they do enough that works to still be an impressive show.
Yeah.
You made me think of something. You were saying the Barbie skit and be on the show and monologue and I'm Just Ken video
and what's his name and what makes him funny.
I don't remember.
Generational.
Anyway, I'll think about it. But it is cool. Like it's being on SNL was I think it's a boyhood dream for most people on the planet who want to get into entertainment.
Kind of feel like, yeah, absolutely. Well, not everybody, but certainly people like you and I that, you know, love comedy.
Right.
Was that the first time the Machete met Rob and Coop?
She met them briefly when we played the Roxy.
Oh, that's right. That's
but right. Very briefly. Not enough where she could have picked him out of a lineup or vice versa.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Funny. I saw that. Definitely the first time that Rob and Coop and Zach Ross met a harried JC. She was running around like a...
Oh, was she?
Like, oh, man, like hammering out press release and all, getting all this stuff going for the...
Wow.
For the company, because wow. She's the CEO, so right. She has a lot
so
going on.
Did they make sales yesterday?
I don't know. I don't think. I also think they were more concerned about being sure there weren't glitches in the system, like being sure the images were correct, and because obviously it'll be a slow ramp up. It's not, you know.
Right. So how like when you're starting a liquor company or a liquor. I guess Borja knows the answer to this as well.
RTD.
Like, yeah, RTD. So what's that? So when did that become a thing?
I don't know. Ready, I don't know. I never heard that term before. I know that there are, I'm not going to name any other brands because I'm not going to promote any other brand other than El Mar. But I know there are other brands that like come in a can.
Okay.
Where you buy like, oh, there's my pre-made drink in this can.
Right.
So the RTD, there is an RTD market, but these are glass bottles. These are classy.
I think you should call me RTD.
Hey, buddy.
Or we could say to each RTD? Other, if we're like want to have a beer when we first get into a city, we'd be like, hey, you RTD?
RTD? Are you ready to drink?
Yeah.
Dude, why didn't we think of that a long time ago?
You RTD?
RTD?
It's, yeah.
And you'd take back, no, I'm RTP. I'm like, well, when you're done pooping, then can we RTD?
As long as you're not DTF.
Down to fire. Down to
fudge. Make down fudge.
Down to friend.
Oh,
down
I think we should open a fudge shop called DTF.
Well, it's like the sushi restaurant in our neighborhood, WTF, the fish.
Yeah, what the fish. My kids used to think that was really funny. And then when they got high school age, they thought it was like tacky.
Lame art. Oh,
yeah,
so
lame.
Good.
Lame, tacky.
Oh, tacky, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not classy. Come on, with the fish.
But kind of funny,
Busted
but like
with the fish.
So freshman funny.
Oh, I know what I was going to tell you. There's one of Frank's buddies' mom was a costume designer on SNL for years.
Oh, wow.
Which I just found out.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, my gosh. And so I made her tell, I passed her walking.
Awesome.
And found that out, and I just asked her like 20 questions in 30 seconds. But and she said it was a great gig, except for the hours were unbelievable. Like, you know, you have Tuesday, like you have a couple days off if you're a costumer. But
oh,
then
wow.
You go in, and then it's just chaos.
Yeah.
For all the, like, and then you get your days off. So, like, she goes, it's a great schedule unless you want to see your kids because you're working late nights and long days. And,
yeah.
And then you're exhausted on the day you don't work. And
yeah, I can't imagine, man. I can't imagine. It's brutal. I've got someone here. I got to go. I got your friend Chris Harrison is here.
Chris Harrison isn't there to talk about your pool house?
Yeah.
Dude. So Robbie's building a pool house. And I think you need to keep us updated. We need like photos.
Okay.
The fans need to see how this is going.
Okay.
Because they're going to want to know. Because this is going to be the new Fartoon studio. The backdrop you see, if you happen to be seeing this image, the backdrop you see, this is temporary.
Right.
Robbie's building a whole, I don't know, suite. Let's call it like a freestanding suite.
Yeah. The technical word is shed, but yes.
It's a freestanding suite.
Uh-huh.
And is it freestanding or is it going to be attached to the house?
Freestanding.
Freestanding, man. Yeah. That's how the other half suites. So it's a freestanding suite. It's going to be used as a luxury lodging for guests.
Yeah.
Also recording studio for Robert and any musicians who happen by, like Daryl Hall.
Right, like Daryl Hall.
And then it's going to be a recording studio for a podcasting studio and creative space.
Most
a thinking
importantly
space.
That, yes. Most importantly,
probably where you do your self-tape auditions.
Where I do my self-tape auditions, where I record.
Yeah, man, it's going to be, I mean, that is a one-stop shop for creative creativity and for luxury lodgings.
I agree.
You've got to keep El Mar stocked in that
yes.
in the fridge you're going to have in that freestanding suite.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. So, and you're always invited, all of you.
Everybody. It's going to be,
Chris is outside.
It is going to be I tell you what, if you're going to go to Robbie's freestanding suite, you better be RTD. That's all I'm going to say.
That's right. RTD. I am always RTD, not always DTF, but always RTD. And
that's weird because we're different. I love fudge. Anyway, Robbie, have a great session with your contractor, Thank Chris
you.
Harrison.
Thank you. Okay, it's bye, everybody. It's a King's Car.